Putney Factory, finally on sale. Next Williams 2.0 title, announced this week. Fathom Revisited update kits, also announced.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Hewson. I'm the editor of Pinball Magazine, and I'm joined by...
Hello, I'm Martin Erb, and I'm the editor of Pinball News, and we are looking back together at all the exciting events that happened in the pinball world throughout the month of April 2023.
Yes, and, well, it was not as much as an exciting month as March, when we had, like, seven game announcements.
That was crazy. It was a crazy month. There was so much that we, and I hope you caught both of them, we put out two pincasts. We did a bonus one with our interviews. So thank you for our interviewees for that, and we hope you enjoyed both of those. This month, as Jonathan says, it's been quite a bit quieter. So we,
yes, but it doesn't mean that there is no news to report. So we'll take you through the news from various companies. And in this case, most of the news is coming from the smaller companies, so to speak. So we start with those. And, of course, we won't forget the Stern Pimbles and the Jersey Jacks. But if they don't have that much news to report, then, well, you're probably not in front of the line, I suppose.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to our very first headline about what's been going on at Pinball Adventures. And as a company we've been following for... a long, long time. Oh, who's that calling?
Oh, that's my girlfriend chiming in.
Oh, I thought it might have been our long-lost inside reporter, but no.
No, no. Actually, speaking of that, have you heard from our good friend Gary?
No, not at all. No, reached out, not heard anything. Last I knew was over in at MGC, so we'll... Hopefully, we'll hear before too much longer.
Right, right.
I'm sure there's plenty of exciting information coming out of that show.
Yeah, so...
Anyway, yes, back to where we were before we were so rudely interrupted.
Yeah, I'll put my phone on silent because I don't want to get interrupted again
by
my girlfriend.
Nobody say
case.
That we're not fully professional here and totally prepared for this recording. But, okay... So, Pinball Adventures, yes, we've been following the development of their multiple titles, starting with the very first one, Punny Factory 2520, which we've been following and been reporting on the multiple update pictures and videos that
have
been
produced.
Yeah, for the
past, like, 3.5 years or so.
Yes.
Seriously.
Alongside
3.5 years for a game to be in development. Okay, I get it. Pinball companies... our startup companies, if they're new companies, but I tend to think that in this case, if you already start announcing a game like 3.5 years before you actually finally get to offer it, which is something I understand that you can't foresee at the time, and nobody could foresee that COVID was coming, which probably also interfered and caused the delay, and then we had, of course. Supply chain issues and what have you, but still,
yeah, it's certainly.
If you're hyping a game that much
time.
Up front, and, at and some also, point you course, lose all your credibility.
But also that you also reveal or announce a whole bunch of future titles, which tends to take the focus off your launch title. But getting back to the headline, Punny Factory did go on sale this month. Just over a week ago, I believe.
Yeah, we even had a gameplay video, which I think featured Robert Gagnon from Canada as well, playing the game.
Right, okay. The details are that there will be a maximum of 120 of these units of Punny Factory made.
Yeah, of which 10 are... so-called engraved editions with a black cabinet with the Punny Factory logo etched in the wood, I think.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, the others have direct full-color printing onto the cabinet. The prices are, 6,500 US dollars. Bear in mind, it's a Canadian company, but the prices are all in US dollars. So 6,500 US dollars for the one version with the printed cabinet, which will be a maximum of 110 of those, and 7,000 US dollars for the 10 engraved cabinets, games, which apparently have all sold out already, so not even worth trying to put in an order for those. Now, included in that price is free shipping to anywhere in the US or Canada. So wow, that's pretty good, actually. That's quite a nice offer. I haven't seen that from any other company. And in order to order one of these, which obviously these are built to order, they're not. There may be a few pre-built, but in order to order your Bunny Factory, you have to put down a $250 US refundable deposit for the game. It's refundable in that if you decide not to go ahead with the order and somebody else subsequently buys that game, then you get your money back. Otherwise, I guess you don't. But it's only $250, so it's not a huge amount of money. And, as we said, we've been following it over the years. We've seen pretty much everything about the game. It has some really nicely painted playfield toys, which we've spoken about before, and has full cabinet artwork on the inside as well, all the way down the inside sides and across the bottom of the playfield of the cabinet as well, including the logo on the very bottom. And as I think we've also reported before, it uses a hardware system built by Team Pinball,
right,
which is a Raspberry Pi-based system driving their board, their R board, which is the driver and switch and interface board and lighting board.
Right.
So, no great surprises about it. What is surprising, I suppose, is it's actually available to buy, and we have some prices and availability.
Right. So, what does surprise me, and I don't want to sound negative here, but here it comes anyway.
You?
If you follow Pinball Adventures on their Instagram, like I do, you get these videos which are supposed to trigger you about the game. These live reels or whatever they call them, so we get a video about nylon rings to support the playfield sliding in and out. And okay, if that's a feature that has to sell you on the game, I'm not so sure. I mean, I think the main there's another one about leg levelers that they put in the back of the game for when the game is sitting on its back. If that's the goal of the game, to put it on its back, I'm not sure. I mean, I would probably improve with or try to get people to talk about gameplay instead of like, oh yeah, they have these really tiny features that nobody cares about. Which other companies don't have, but there's a reason why other companies don't have it, because nobody cares about it.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here then and counter an argument.
Okay, sure.
And say that maybe it's they're attempting to show or indicate the level of detail that they go into with every game. I mean, there are various other things in that game that we haven't spoken about, like the way the speakers are built into the back box sides, using basically side-firing speakers, which are then ducted through little grills built into the depth of the wood that's used for the cabinet sides, the back box sides, I should say. Which how that sounds, I don't know, because we haven't actually got our hands on one yet, and we probably won't until Pinball Expo, I suppose, in October.
Right.
But there are lots of different things in there which they have changed, and as you mentioned about the playfield slides, and some of them are interesting changes. You know, if you were designing a game from scratch, would you do things differently? Or is it just easier to go with what everybody else uses, you know, which it may well be. So I guess that's the gist of these videos, is we've examined every aspect of the game and improved it in many small ways.
Well, that's what Deep Root did, and look what happened to them.
That's true. Well, they never actually managed to sell any games, did they? So
kudos to Pinball Adventures for going the same route, but actually being able to put out a game. So that's definitely a plus. But in the end, the proof has to be in gameplay.
Yeah, Well, exactly.
Whether people like the game. And, well, we can check that out now. There's a gameplay video, over 2 hours, I believe it is. So that will give you a very good impression on how the game is. It's supposed to be a funny game with all the puns in there.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, pinball and humor is always a good combination, if implemented correctly.
Yeah. From what I've seen so far, it looked like a fun game. I have seen some gameplay, not that particular video, the live stream recording that you're referring to, but there have been some promotional videos done as well. And, yeah, it's a bit, well, it's very corny. I think that's the whole idea of it. You know, it's like dad jokes, dad puns. So as long as you sort of buy into that and it's a sort of family-based game, I don't think there's anything offensive within it. No, perhaps it's got that market. There aren't that many games of that kind, that particular genre out there. Maybe there's a good reason for that. Oh, yeah. But
the good thing is... pricing wise, if there's any families out there that are looking for a pinball machine, then this is probably the one they should get.
Yeah, it's certainly accessible.
Although other distributors are probably saying you should get other ones, but
oh, of course, okay. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so congratulations to Andrew at Pinball Adventures on getting the game on sale.
Hopefully, let's end this on a positive note. And seriously, I hope that they manage to sell their games in order that to continue building pinball games so we can move on to Elements and Sushi Mania and what have you.
So, yes, I told Andrew this myself. I said I think Elements is the more interesting game, but it's this is the first step. This is the learning curve, if you like, and this is the sort of proving ground for your system in order to bring out your future games. So congratulations on getting
another
that done.
Plus, I would say, so because I don't want to be all negative about it, and I have no reason to be, I'm just questioning certain decisions in the promotional elements, so to speak, of this game. No pun intended. I think it's very good that we have a company that is actually focusing on original themes.
Yeah. There's a few, of course.
True, there are a few, but we come from from almost 20 years of no original themes in pinball, so it's a good thing that there's this company that is developing their own content and everything. So I just wanted to put that out there as well. And if this is a theme that you think like, oh, I love this kind of humor, then get the game. Absolutely, yeah. By all means.
Okay.
Get two.
So that's a very positive end to our wrap-up of Pinball Adventures launch of Punny Factory 2520. I don't understand the 2520 thing. I think it's...
Isn't that something like an address or something? I don't know.
I think it says established 2520, so it's like it's in the future, but it's not. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure it'll all make sense when you get to play the game. So hopefully you will, and hopefully we will too, and then we'll report back on when we have. So that's Pinball Adventures. So our second headline was about
Adventure Gaming.
Yes, the next Williams 2.0 upgrade title. Be produced by Pedretti Gaming.
Yeah, it's supposed to be announced this week. I think they started a countdown on their Facebook page and probably other social media as well, which started 2 days ago at 5 days remaining until reveal. So at least 3 days since then.
Yeah, they said they'll be revealed on Thursday, which... depending on which day you listen to this, has either been and gone or coming up very shortly.
Yeah, exactly. So, originally, as I understand it, this title was supposed to be already revealed at the Texas Pinball Festival.
The whole game was supposed to be revealed.
Yeah, I think we have to we talked about that last month, and I think we have to correct.
Well, I have to make a correction. When I said that there was a delay in the reveal, which was due to the fast pinball boards not being available or not being complete in time, but it was. I'm told it's actually due to the lack of availability of the Raspberry Pi boards that they use as the main processor on the fast boards, rather than the fast boards themselves. Anybody who's trying to buy a Raspberry Pi board would know that they are like hen's teeth and very difficult to find at the moment. And if you can find them, they command a premium price. However, PinSound, which was the board that was used with the first 2.0 game, which was Funhouse, Rudy's Nightmare, that also uses a Raspberry Pi board, but uses a different Raspberry Pi, and the PinSound team have a lot of those in stock. They pre-ordered those, and they have them. So that's why PinSound board was used, and I think the PinSound board is going to be used in the upcoming release as well, simply because of the lack of availability of the Raspberry Pi boards that Fast use.
Right.
So, no reflection on Fast themselves, but just on the lack of Raspberry Pi boards that are out there at the moment.
Right, okay. So now, of course, there's speculation going on which Williams title is going to be the upcoming 2.0 title, so to speak.
Mm, yes, indeed.
Are we doing any guesses?
I probably can't, because I've got an article all about it ready to go. I'm just going to hit the publish button, and it will be on the website, on the Pinball News
right
site.
So, Martin, what can you tell us about that upcoming title?
Well, I understand it's going to be revealed on Thursday, Jonathan, and it is going to be a 2.0 title of a Williams game.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
Can you tell us who the designer of the original game is?
I could, yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, thank you. Yes. Any other questions?
Well,
no, good. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, we...
Okay, well, so basically the news is not only do we get a new 2.0 kit, but we also get an in-depth article by you on it immediately at the announcement.
Yes, absolutely.
On pinballnews.com.
Thank you very much,
if you're
indeed
interested.
Yep, which has been sitting there for quite a while, actually, waiting for this game to be announced. Not much has changed with the game itself. And so just really waiting for the availability of everything so you can actually put it on sale.
Have you played the 2.0 version?
I have indeed, yes.
Is it an improvement over the original game, or is it a completely different direction?
It's a completely different direction. It uses all the same hardware that on the playfield, I can tell you that. There's no extra hardware added to the game. Mm-hmm. On the playfield, we put it that way. There is obviously a different back box arrangement with display and speakers and artwork and things like that. But the rules have been expanded and reimagined, put it that way. But also has, of course, the ability to go back to play the original version. So, right. As you would expect, and it's basically this a similar kind of take on it as Funhouse Rudy's Nightmare. So, if you think of that, and that's kind of how this second title has been treated.
Right. Does it have the same voice actors?
I believe so, yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of similarities in the team. But who did the second title and the Funhouse game.
Right. Well, the programmer is probably the same.
Yes, and hardware system and... anyway, you'll find out more about it in a couple of days' time. And but we were talking about Funhouse just now as well.
Right, yes.
You have some news on that, I believe.
Well, I came across an article on the NAP Arcade side, which basically suggested that an auto plunger for Funhouse 2.0 is coming. It turns out there is a video on YouTube by a poster or a channel called Deja Vu,
mm-hmm.
Which is not an official Pedretti channel as far as I know. You can only find the video if you have the link to it. That does show a Funhouse 2.0 game that uses an auto plunger during the multi-ball, one of the multi-balls in there. But I'm not actually sure whether that is an upgrade that will be made by Pedretti.
I have a little information on that. I know it was originally planned to have an auto plunger, but that wasn't then. The decision was taken not to put it into the game because it wasn't actually needed. And I do believe that the code for the game supports it. So if you have so got it added, then I think it'll work. Put it
right,
that way.
Okay, so that's just a matter of maybe installing an auto plunger yourself if you want to. If you're that handy with,
yes, I'm not sure whether there's a setting within the game, within the game's configuration.
I'm not sure how the wiring would work as well, but
the wiring would just be off another solenoid somewhere. There'd be another output from the driver board that will be connected to it.
Right.
But obviously, you need to tell the game that it's got it, so it's not so it knows to fire it at the appropriate time. And,
right. Okay. Well. That might become available in the summertime in the future. For now, it could be just some homemade mod or somebody that figured like, hey, or looked into the code and it was like, hey, there is code for an auto plunger. Let's put one in. So nothing official by Pedretti on it as far as I could see.
So I think that pretty much wraps up our news from Pedretti Gaming for this month. So our third headline.
Good luck on the launch for the upcoming 2.0 title.
Indeed, yep. Should be an exciting day. See what the reaction is. So our third headline was about
Haggis.
About Haggis and their Fathom Revisited game.
Yes.
So you've sort of got some more news about this, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think earlier this week, Damien posted a new update video, which have been long missing from basically their social media, so to speak.
Yeah, so much.
He used to do several a week, and all of a sudden, when production started, he got very silent. There could be many reasons for that, so let's not dive into that. But he did a new one in which he basically explained that they went to the Texas Pinball Festival and a couple of other shows as well. They got feedback from customers and other people interested in the Fathom game, which basically made them decide, if not already planned up front, but we probably never know, to make an upgrade kit available for people who already ordered a classic edition Fathom game, so that it can run the Mermaid 2.0 game code.
Right.
And that upgrade kit includes a new apron with LCDs in it and colored LED displays for that are used in the back box and some other stuff as well that you need to run that game. So if you have a Fathom on order, then you can just order that upgrade game. And if they still have to build your game, it will be automatically implemented. Now, speaking of on that, besides this upgrade kit, there's now also the availability to order a classic Plus edition, which basically means that you get the upgrade kit immediately installed in there as well.
Right.
You want pricing and everything of all these kits and upgrades as well, or are you good with what we have so far?
Oh, just give us an idea of what the what kind of money we're talking about here.
Right. Okay. So the upgrade kit is priced at their website for $995 US or $1,500 Australian dollars or €907.
Right, so basically $1,000 for the upgrade kit to turn, well, to allow the Fathom Revisited Classic Edition to run the Fathom Revisited Mermaid Edition rules.
Yes.
And have the display and hardware and things like that on it.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
But it's not a complete upgrade to the Mermaid Edition. It's
no, I don't think
it's an interim.
I think the Mermaid Edition has a special side art.
Yeah, and sold out long ago.
Yeah, and the back glass might be mirrored or different, or I'm not exactly sure. But
so we have the Classic, we have the Classic Plus, and we have the Mermaid Edition. Now, that
is correct.
Okay,
yes.
Right.
Right,
that's fine. So that makes sense. And if you want to buy the Classic Plus Edition,
That goes for in Australian dollars 13,000. In US dollars, I didn't do the math on that, but it's probably somewhere 7,000-8,000, I think. Roughly estimate based on the numbers that I see from the $1,500 Australian to the $1,000 US for the upgrade kit. So
right. So yeah,
math is not my strong point.
About 8.5, I think.
Yeah, something like
roughly.
That. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Good. Okay.
Yeah. And what Haggis introduced when they announced the Mermaid series. Or the Mermaid Edition is a series ticket, which was for free for everybody who bought a Mermaid Edition at the time. But you can also purchase a series ticket now, which basically means that if you buy a Fathom Classic Plus Edition, as well as a series ticket, that means that you will get the same serial number on your game, on your future upgrade game or remake title that Haggis will do, and they will do 5 in total. So their second or remake title will be announced halfway through 2023. So let's say in a month or two.
Yeah, I understand about mid-July, I think.
Yeah, okay, so mid-July.
Yep.
So
I think there's a show in Australia that they will be attending and are expected to make the announcement there.
Yeah, so, and that's just an announcement. They're not taking the game immediately into production, but so production for the rest of the year is mostly on Fathom and another run of Celts after Fathom. If you purchase a series tickets, you'll be guaranteed a game regardless of whether it will sell out.
Right.
Your game is reserved.
Right.
Basically.
Okay.
So, so it's sort of like showing a sign of you're supporting the company.
Yeah, a loyalty
and
thing.
And you're
willing
to buy another 4 titles from them aside from Fathom.
Okay.
So, which is a good way to get customers to commit to your company, I suppose. But I have to say, and build quality of the Fathom Revisited games that we have seen is basically through the roof.
Yeah, I think it's a very impressive job that they've been doing on those. Let's hope that continues through the future. What, 4 more titles?
Right.
So are they saying
now
that
I'm afraid to
will
ask,
definitely
but
be 5?
I'm afraid to ask, but do you have any guess on what we might be looking at for a second announced title, or do you already have an article ready to go?
No, I have no more information on that than anybody else. So if you're pushing me to guess, my guess would be it would be Centaur.
Right.
But I've also seen 8 Ball Deluxe being thrown around as a title that I'm less convinced about that, but Centaur would make a lot more sense given the sort of similarity to Fathom.
Right. Okay. So well, there's going to be 5 titles in total, and I'm assuming they're all Belly titles.
Yeah, I guess so. From that same kind of era.
Yeah, Centaur should be on the list. Probably
Xenon
as well.
Yeah.
Medusa maybe.
Yeah, it's an expensive game to make, all the drop targets and things. But
yeah,
but yeah, it could be.
Yeah. So, well, that's probably four classic bellies that I can think of from the top of my head. And there's a lots more, don't get me wrong.
Mm, there certainly are, yeah. Yeah, and a very enjoyable era for pinball, I'd say, for a lot of people. And certainly that kind of era was, those are the games that got me into pinball in the first place. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
They are to blame.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I can still name locations where I used to play those belly games back then.
Yeah, I used to play them over and over, and I still never understood what on earth Vector was about. But never mind. It was. It made a lot of nice noises, so that was fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, right. Let's move on to some of the larger companies. We've covered Pinball Adventures, Pedretti, and Haggis. Let's go to the big boys then. And
Stern Pinball.
Well, none bigger than Stern.
And, at the moment.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Everyone has to start somewhere. So there's not lots of little news items from them, really. No big announcements or anything, but there was an interview in Billboard magazine, the well-known
publication.
Yeah, yes. I was trying to work out exactly what it covers these days, but certainly coin-op, jukebox, that kind of thing.
Billboard is mostly a music magazine right now, isn't it?
I thought that's one of the things it covers. I thought it covered an awful lot of things, but maybe I'm going back to the old days where it used to cover an awful lot.
I know that it used to have a lot of coin-op advertisements, yeah. Like in the 40s and 50s and so on.
Mm.
I mainly know it from like 20 years ago as a music publication with music charts.
Yeah, you said all the charts.
Focuses on artists and everything.
Yeah, different categories, yeah. Anyway, whatever they do these days, they were carrying an interview with Jack Danger about the making of the Stern Foo Fighters game.
Yeah, which basically ties in with the music direction that they headed into.
Yeah,
I think.
Absolutely. Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got nothing more to say about that other than the fact that if you want to find out about Jack's interview with about Foo Fighters, get yourself I don't know if it's on the website or get yourself a copy of Billboard magazine.
Okay, while you do that second item on Stern Pinball, let me check if it's on the website.
Okay, you do that. Okay. Well, when we're talking about the making of games, Stern also put out a fairly short video about how their 60th anniversary James Bond machine was created. That's, of course, Keith Elwin design. Now, there's some of their making of videos are very lengthy, but this was one of the shorter ones, so much more accessible. And I recommend watching that if you just go to the sternpinball.com website and click on the James Bond game. There you'll be able to find out all about the 60th anniversary and watch that making of video. Hopefully, I've now been talking long enough for Jonathan to have worked out whether or not Billboard magazine is carrying that.
Oh, I have good news. The designer of Foo Fighter pinball machine describes band input nothing but "fuck yes, left and right." That's the headline for the article. Pardon my French.
Oh, okay.
And appears that you can actually read the article. It's not behind any paid
paywall or anything.
Transcription. Or, yeah. No, it's available for everybody.
And
you can even listen to it because they recorded somebody reading it for you, or an Autobot or something like that. So
a little bit of AI in there. So is it on? Is it billboard.com?
.com. Yes.
Okay. Great. There you go.
So. And if you just do what I did was a quick search on Jack Danger, and it immediately pops up the article. So I'll be reading that later on, or maybe when you start talking about code updates.
Oh, well, okay. Well, as long as you manage to keep awake during that. But we have some more news actually about Stern, because they have been nominated for the Licensing International Awards.
Oh, yeah, again.
Yeah, how exciting, eh? But in the category of Best Product, Appliances, Housewares, and Electronics for Entertainment Brands. Now, they are...
For what game?
That will be for James Bond, 007.
Okay.
Not any particular model, but the whole range of them, I believe, all four different... models, including the 60th anniversary. They are up against other international brands such as Asus for a Batman phone, not the Bat phone, but a Batman branded phone that they produced.
Is that not the Bat phone then? That's not the Bat phone. Make it the Bat phone.
Not the big red one that flashes, no. Dahlstrom, who make knives, who have brought out a Call of Duty range. Energizer brought out a Stranger Things torch. Yes, it's exciting stuff, this, isn't it? And Oppo, OnePlus One, who do phones as well. They brought out a House of Dragons phone, so a bit of a follow-on from Game of Thrones. Right. And a company called Osim, who I've never heard of, who make gaming chairs and have made a Transformers-branded gaming chairs. So that's who Stern are up against. The voting for that award closes on the 6th of May, and I'm sure if Stern win in that category, they will be putting out a press release about it fairly shortly after that.
Yeah, well, might be one trophy the game will win.
Harsh, but anyway, moving on swiftly then. Another
one of many, maybe. Yes. We don't know.
Another very popular Stern pinball title is Godzilla, of course. And there's been two special in inverted commas, Godzilla premium pinball machines that have been auctioned off over the past few days. These apparently have been played by a team or members.
I lost you. Hello? And Martin appears to be missing in action. Martin, can you hear me?
If you can hear me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still here.
Yeah, I hear you. It looks like you lost your connection on this rather important topic of...
Okay, well, I'll go back to pick up and say, apparently these two Godzilla premium games were played, or at least in the presence of, some members of an American football team called the Fighting Illini from Illinois, and they were played during the team's breakthrough 2022 season, so last year. These are two highly exclusive Illinois Football Godzilla Premium Signature Edition games, which were up for auction on the Captain's Auctions website.
Okay, so how many times did these guys play them?
That is unclear, if indeed it was ever played. But
well, there's pictures. I've seen pictures of them playing the game, but they're football players, I mean, and not very famous ones, I believe.
No, I guess not. We're not that au fait with American football, so we don't know quite how well-known the Fighting Illini are
if the Fighting Illini rock your boat, then this was your chance.
It was. Unfortunately, it's too late, but we are reporting on it. The two of these machines, they were autographed by the members of the teams on the back box, and also by the president of and CEO of Stern Pinball, Seth Davis. So
Basically came in play after the games was already designed and, oh, well.
Yeah. Anyway, proceeds from this auction benefit 8 football players on the team, apparently. So good luck to them. They were listed, I'd say, on the Captain's Auction Warehouse website with a starting bid of $9,699 each. And they also, the final price they went for was $14,600 for the first one and $13,300 for the second one, plus an 18% buyer's premium and sales tax of 7.5%, which bumped the price up to $18,500 for one and $17,000 for the other. So,
okay, seriously, you need to be fans. Buy two premium machines for that kind of money.
Pretty much, yeah. You'd need to be big fans of the Fighting Illini in order to bid on those. But they both sold anyway, and good luck to the buyers who got those.
Wow. Okay, so next thing you know is we're going to be bidding on a game that, somebody famous drove his by in his car, and
Seth
now
Davis,
we get a plaque
maybe.
On that.
Yeah. Yeah, one that Seth looked at as he came into the factory one day. Yeah.
Wow.
But you'll sign it, just to indicate. Anyway, enough levity on that particular thing, because we've got the all-exciting new code.
Oh, right. Let me get back to my Jack Danger article.
Okay. Well, at least it's relevant. Now, I suppose the big news for the code fans amongst you is that all Spike 2 games, which are the LCD games, they all got an update in this past month, which is 19 different machines. Some updates were just like insider connected or system level updates to make introduce new features or make them catch up with features which were introduced on other versions of the games, or other games, I should say. But others actually got some nice new features and some bug fixes that have been waiting to be squished for quite a while. So if you have a Spike 2 game, you haven't updated it yet, or it hasn't updated itself, if you've got it connected to Wi-Fi and the auto-update thing on, then go and check that code and see what's new. Right. As well as that, there's also a new code for James Bond, which came out at the beginning of April on the 3rd. Foo Fighters, as you'd expect, came out on the 6th. And there was another update for James Bond as well, the 60th anniversary one, which added a whole range of new sound package options and a rather nifty little feature that allows you to use the insider-connected QR code reader to swap between different sound packages, mid-game. So there are some codes out there, so you can just wave your phone or your printout of it over the QR code reader, and the sound package changes between 60s, 70s, 80s, and some brand new, exclusive, vintage versions of those sound packages, which are only accessible by using the QR code and can't be selected normally.
So it's not like it's going to play Foo Fighters all of a sudden.
Well, who knows? I'm sure that option will be available by people using various hacking systems. But officially, no. Let's say not, no. So anyway, I think that pretty much wraps up our news from Elk Grove Village and the Stern Pinball Factory.
Right, okay. So, let's report on what's happening on the next block.
Mm-hmm.
Jersey Jack Pinball. As far as I can tell, not that much, other than Jack traveling the globe. Jack Guarnieri, the founder of Jersey Jack Pinball, that is. Jack was recently in Australia. And last weekend, actually, in France for Flip Expo, which is a show that we have attended in the past.
We have.
This is probably the first one in years that I missed.
Yeah, it's a shame. It would have been a good one. But unfortunately, we're both too busy for this particular one. So, as you will know, if you listen to the chat we had with Jack in our previous pincast last month.
Right. He
was talking about that.
To that.
Yes, he was referring to his travels and the fact he would be at the Trepore for Flip Expo. But looks like all the people there enjoyed meeting Jack and getting various things signed by him.
Right. Yeah.
You can tell that that's the main news from Jersey Jack Pinball this month, that there's not much going on there.
Basically, the company's busy building The Godfather, which is a huge hit for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And
rightfully so,
and promoting it as well.
It's a very impressive game.
Yes, lots of social media stuff about that, including pictures of Slash playing the game with Eric and Eric Meunier, and also a map showing where you can play The Godfather across the US, various locations, if you're unsure where to find it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that because Godfather is now in production that Jersey Jack is neglecting their older titles.
Absolutely not. No, no. There's some new code for Toy Story 4. Yeah.
Tell me all about it.
Well, it won't take very long. So version 1.11 came out on the 10th of April. Fixed a couple of bugs with high score initials and drop target not updating during road trip multiball.
And I lost you again.
Okay.
Goodness. Yeah, and there's Martin again. Yeah, I can hear you again. Thank you.
Okay, some positional...
So all this happens during code updates. Seriously, it's pure coincidence.
Yeah, almost like somebody's pulling the plug. There is... this is actually the first game where they have removed the support for Scorebit. We mentioned that last time about how Jersey Jack decided not to work with Scorebit any longer on their system, or to integrate their system, and this new update removes it. There is there's no new code for any of the other games to take it out of, like for Wizard of Oz or Dialed In, Pirates of the Caribbean, Willy Wonka or Guns N' Roses. So for now, Scorebit exists or continues to exist in those games, but I'm sure there will be future updates which will remove it completely.
Right.
Which is a shame, but there you go.
Oh, well. Well, the new system might even be better if they ever get to it.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is our Jersey Jack Pinball update for April.
Okay. Let's move on to Pinball Brothers.
Yeah, well, there's we got some new code, of course, for Queen, which...
what do you mean, of course?
Well, of course, I mean, it's always being updated, and this version brings the whole new sound package from David Teal.
Wow.
Who we knew was working on it, and this apparently does improve an awful lot of things with the sounds, makes it more dynamic. I don't know whether it involves any re-recording of any of the voice call outs, which was probably the biggest bugbear that we picked up in the past. But certainly the rest of it has, from reports from people who've installed it and tried it, made a significant difference to the sound. So congratulations to David and Pinball Brothers on producing that new sound package. But also includes some improved display effects, some new skill shot options, some rules and scoring tweaks, and some bug fixes as well for things which have been pointed out and been found. So that's the code. But there's it's not just all about Queen.
Queen.
No, because as you say, I was saying with Jersey Jack, it's not all about the latest game. There's also news about previous titles.
Yes. Well, in this case, there's only one previous title. Which is Alien, but apparently April 26th is Alien Day.
Was, yeah.
Yes, well, every year it is, so... and for Pinball Brothers, that was a good reason to announce a 426 discount for Alien LV games, which runs until May 15th, but... Keep in mind, it's only available until local stock runs out. So the games already have to be, for example, in the US and at a distributor. As long as stock lasts, then the discount is available. So it's not for games that are currently being built and still have to be shipped. At least that's my take on it.
Right, so. Okay. Fair enough. Well, if it's only until the 15th of May, they probably won't get any more games built and shipped in that time.
Still 2 weeks to... they're shipping out games every week, which is a good thing. And if you're in the market for an Alien game, you might be able to get one with a $426 discount.
Yeah, that's not to, not to be discounted, yes.
Yeah.
Or rather, exactly. It is. Yes. Okay. So, and some other
and there was some other news which I have difficulty understanding what it's actually about. But apparently, after opening their Italian factory at Euro Pinball Corp, mm-hmm. cranking out more and more of the pinball machines that they are building. Pinball Brothers have now founded a PB USA LLC.
Right. So
which the PB, of course, stands for Pinball Brothers, I assume.
Right.
Now I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? Well, the explanation is as follows. Think of it as a hub to be able to better cater the needs of all U.S. customers. Our US support section is on site, already doing the greatest job, but will offer further improve US shipment and parts and also machine deliveries to our distributors and resellers throughout the US.
Okay.
And if you want to find out more about it, and there's a website which is basically pbusa.info.
Very good. That sounds like something you can get info.
They assure that they will keep making their games in Italy in collaboration with Pedretti Gaming.
Yes, it would be odd if they just formed their manufacturing company, Euro Pinball, and then moved manufacturing to America. So that's not happening. So
probably financial reasons for whatever or something like that to start this new LLC.
Yeah, venture. But it's also probably, I would guess, and this is pure speculation from me, it's to take some of the workload off CoinTaker, having to deal with everything to do with Pinball Brothers. So if they've got this other company set up there that can provide the service and support and help supply games, then that should hopefully speed up and increase the amount of games and the amount of parts available throughout the US.
Right, okay. Anyway, so if you're still here and interested in an Alien, hurry up and go get one while it's still discounted.
Yep, $426 off while stocks last.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Pinball Brothers.
That rounds it up for Pinball Brothers right now. Next on my list is Spooky Pinball.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, not a huge amount to report from them. We know that we already know about Scooby-Doo and being their current title.
Where are you?
Yes, where are you? With an exclamation mark on the end and not a question mark. So that is their current game, and we got to play it at the Texas Pinball Festival back in March. So
surprisingly fun game.
It was. Well, no, that's surprising, but
me it was.
I suppose for a wide body, it was certainly a little different to what you might have expected from a wide body game, but in a good way. So as it is their current title, then obviously there's some new code out for that on the 13th of April, which added a new Scooby Snack multi-ball to the rules. Added new audits, new setting adjustments, new light shows, and a few rule tweaks. Nothing too exciting, but Scooby Snack Multiball is a very welcome addition and something that was missing from the game before. However, that also introduced a couple of bugs to the bugs as in software bugs, not as in Bug, who runs the company, but that was soon squished by another release on the 18th of April version. Well, no point going with the version numbers because the version numbers are the dates, pretty much. So it's version 17, really, which you should be on if you install version 16. So get that from the Spooky Pinball website and download it and install.
So, and there was also a new gameplay video posted on their social media featuring the new code. So if you're curious, if you don't have a Scooby-Doo pinball machine nearby to play for yourself, but you're still interested in seeing what gameplay would be like, then I highly suggest that you check out this video, which you can find on Spooky Pinball's Facebook page and probably YouTube as well.
Yeah, a YouTube channel, I think, as well. Yeah, good. Well, we said it wasn't much from Spooky. I think that's about all we've got to say about what happens at Spooky.
Right.
So our next company would be Multimorphic, I believe, and well, we know what they're making at the moment.
Yeah.
Their Final Resistance game is the top.
No, actually, that's
coming up.
That's coming up, yeah. They're still building Weird Al.
Yeah, that's right. Good point. So, but in the meantime...
I was going to say Killing Time.
Yes, they've been busy bigging up some of the members of the design team who you normally don't get to see and often aren't at any of the shows either, where their games or where their products are available for you to enjoy. So they've been sort of highlighting members of the team, starting with Trey Jones, who's a mechanical designer and metalworking expert, BJ Wilson, who does an awful lot of their software development, Rory Sanuda, who's the technical artist, lead technical artist and game engine expert, and also some of their playfield assemblers, Mikey, Cindy and Lexi, not Lexi Lightspeed, but Lexi, who are the ones, or some of the ones at least, who build the playfields in the factory.
It should be Sydney, not Cindy.
Ah, okay. Sydney. Yeah.
Sydney, yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I read in my screen.
Okay, so. I'm sure you're right. Anyway, so you you can look at both Jonathan's report and my report from the Multimorph Factory if you want to see, or Jonathan's Texas Pinball Festival report if you want to see where they're working and the games that they're working on.
Yeah, and I'll probably be posting a photo of one of these individuals or the group of playfield assemblers in my Pinball Magazine newsletter, and make sure they are subscribed to that as well.
A good timely reminder. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that rounds it up for Multimorphic at this point.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So, Chicago Gaming is next on my list.
Okay. So what's been happening there?
Well, they did a live stream with Jack Danger on his Deadflip Twitch channel for Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, as I understand it, it was very well received. Everyone seemed to be having a really good fun time, as opposed to some other streams where it all seems to be deadly serious. But this one certainly seemed to have a lot of fun.
Well, the entire design team was basically present. And they didn't take things too seriously, I'd say, which probably helps in this case with a game like this. I did watch it for a bit earlier today. Didn't watch it live, but I found the audio a little bit on the low side. I couldn't crank it up hard enough on my laptop. So,
for the whole stream, or
yeah, the whole, okay. I think so. Yeah, basically the way the mics were set up and so on, it was not that loud, so to speak. But that still a very very fun stream to check out. And I didn't watch it entirely, but I don't think anybody got to nowhere near my 5 million.
No, well, who would?
Point score on ball one when I played the game at Texas Pinball Festival like 6 weeks ago.
Well, no, I mean they probably don't understand how it works, you know, not the way that you do. So,
well, these are the people that built the game. If anybody understands how it should work, it should be them, right?
I was being facetious, but yes, absolutely. It was. I understand they didn't get to complete the game at any point, but got reasonably close to it. So, in a similar vein as yourself.
Ah, okay. I might have to watch more to see if they got close to 5 million points.
I can't tell you about the scores, but anyway, if all this excitement at Chicago Gaming and the upcoming Pulp Fiction game, and as well as their existing remakes, is something which interests you, and you happen to live in the vicinity, then you might be interested to know that Chicago Gaming is seeking an experienced pinball service technician for their service department.
What, you mean these machines break?
Well, obviously not theirs, but, you know, there's probably work to prevent them breaking, preventative maintenance.
Right, okay.
It's an in-house position. It doesn't say whose house it's in, but it's in. And it's open to either full or part-time applicants. So if you sounds like something you might be interested in doing, get in touch with Chicago Gaming and let them know your availability. And they'll let you know whether you would be a good fit for them.
Right. Okay. So now, currently, while Pulp Fiction was being streamed, that game is going into production in the third quarter of this year. In the meantime, they are building Cactus Canyon Remake.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some news on that game as well. As Josh Sharp, who did the rules for Pulp Fiction, posted an update on Pinside, basically explaining what has happened since the untimely passing of Lyman Sheets, with who he was working on an special upgrade kit
for the game. Alternate set of rules.
Yeah. Yes, alternative rule set, but with also with extra voice calls and basically trying to create a different game on the same platform, so to speak.
Mm.
And the project has been on hold for the past 15 months, with the only thing that actually was done was make a to-do list of things that need to be finished. And due to development of Pulp Fiction and other games that he can't go into, there were no resources available to finish the to-do list for that upgrade for Cactus Canyon. Mm. But it doesn't mean it's game over.
Good.
Josh is a very sure, I would say, that whenever he gets the resources that he needs, he will be able to finish the game in the fashion that he and Lyman envisioned at the start of that project. Josh is in the possession of a game that is already running on the software that Lyman wrote, which isn't finished. It's not finished, but it's not ready to be released either. So it needs work. And Josh is basically keeping his hopes up that that will happen at some point, but there's no timeline when that might happen.
Okay. So we won't hold our breath waiting for that to be released then. But it's good to know that work was done and is to be done on it anyway. And that they don't want to release it until it's complete and a fitting tribute to what Josh and Lyman wanted it to be.
Yeah, to quote Josh, much is left to implement. The rules design is complete. The code is not. The art is not. The sound and speech are not. There's still a good amount of work to be done. End of quote.
Okay, fair enough. So at least we know what the situation with that is. It was always something that's been hanging around for the question.
Yeah, it's also very good of Josh to chime in on Pinside, because obviously people are debating whether there is any progress made or not, and he clarified that.
Yeah, obviously a lot of projects going on at Chicago Gaming at the moment.
Right.
More on which later, but that for now, I think that's everything from them for this month. So let's move across the state a little to American Pinball and what's been going on there.
Yeah, what has been going on there is they sent out another press release, which probably could have been a service bulletin.
Yes, we mentioned last month, I think, there was one about a bracket behind the stand-up targets on the tank that was bending backwards, and how they have taken the opportunity to fix that on all upcoming games. Now there's been another one about some issue with the lock mechanism. David Fix put out a press release which said, during a live stream of the game, we noticed some issues with our lock mechanism and our vertical up kicker in the Galactic Tank Force, their current new game. So, yeah, after extensive testing, we have identified the issue of magnetized balls causing difficulties with the mechanisms.
I hate it when my balls are magnetized.
Well, don't we all? But fortunately, if you do have that issue, let David know straight away and he'll replace your balls at no cost to you either. It just goes on to reiterate about the developing this bracket to prevent air balls. And then goes on about, rather strangely, about the price of games, saying, in light of concerns about the pricing of our games, we want to emphasize our margins have always been extremely tight. Profit isn't what drives us. We're driven purely for the love of the game. Mm-hmm. We invest in our games to ensure the highest or best possible experience for our customers. It's not about the bottom line. It's about sharing our passion with the pinball community. So in other words...
Well, I think the special deluxe limited engraved edition of Galactic Tank Force was priced at a rather steep price point. North of 15,000, I believe. But correct me if I'm wrong. So I can see why people would be talking about pricing, but hey, you don't have to buy the game, or you buy another edition.
Well, also, they amortize the development cost of the game across all the models that they produce. So while the top end ones may be very expensive, that might keep the cost of the lower end ones down if they can sell all those and make the average price lower. I have to take them at their word. So that was a rather strange press release, but addressing a number of issues about mechanical issues and the pricing of the games. Yeah. So there you go. Take it for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So, here's a new company that we haven't discussed that much. Cardona Pinball Design.
Yes.
Who exhibited their Black Rose Skull and Bones at least the Texas Pinball Festival and possibly other shows as well in the meantime.
Yeah, it was on
found some news on that?
It was on the Planetary Pinball stand at the Texas show. I was hoping it would be available to purchase, but apparently it's not yet available to purchase. There are some sample videos showing the game in development. I mentioned last time that their earlier game, No Good Gophers Battle for the Green, was an earlier title that they showed and had some rather poor quality animations and graphics. I have to say, so far, Skull and Bones is looking similar. I don't want to say it's a mess, but it's not looking. The level of animation and graphics that we're used to from various LCD display.
It's a pirate game. Pirates are always a mess.
Well, that's true, but the Gophers game is available if you wanted to buy that. I think that costs about $2,000 if you want to get the kit for that, mm-hmm. Which seems quite good value these days when... the price of a topper for a Mandalorian, isn't it? So then you get a whole new game.
Wow. But well, you have to buy the game first, but still.
You do, yeah. But...
same goes with the topper.
But Skull and Bones is not yet available, but it's in development and will hopefully be available through Planetary Pinball.
Planetary Pinball.
Yeah. Yeah. And whether they'll work on any other future games or not, we don't know at the moment. But we'll keep you updated with the latest developments from Cardona Pinball and their No Good Gophers Battle for the Green and Black Rose Skull and Bones games.
Right, okay. Now, let's do a quick roundup of the remaining companies, so to speak.
Okay, well...
Because there are quite a few, but there's not that much news.
No.
So we can make this rather quick. Dutch Pinball.
No news.
Homepin in Taiwan.
A little bit of news, although it wasn't directly from them because it came from Highway Games, who are their Australian distributors. They produced a promotional video for the This Is Spinal Tap game, which apparently is shipping now, as we reported last month, I believe. Mm-hmm. And but if you go to YouTube and search for This Is Spinal Tap Pinball, you can watch a semi-professional, should we say, video for
This Is Spinal Tap. The editing was very nicely done.
Yeah, it's tend to...
Direction is something that you might want to discuss.
Yeah, I tended to focus more on the model, I guess it was, who was playing the game or was featured.
Female model, so indeed. To be more precise.
That's right, yes. not a game model. Less on the actual... gameplay itself, but there's a little bit of it in there, so you can see some of the gameplay. But Not if you're expecting to find a or hoping to get a gameplay video, then that is not it. So, but it's an interesting promotional video. So
Well, definitely worth looking at. They sort of took the if you want to buy a car out, use a beautiful woman to promote the car. I think this is a similar fashion.
Yeah,
okay. Not saying whether that's right or wrong.
Okay. Well, I think that's the only thing we've got to say about Homepin and This Is Spinal Tap. But we could move on to another new company, Hexa Pinball in France.
Okay, that's a new name to me.
Yes, they are producing a space hunt game. Ooh. And they put a public vote up to choose which version of a backglass artwork to use. And they revealed the winner on, I think it was on their Facebook page. So
I have to look that up. I haven't seen it yet.
So. Yes, don't know anything else about the game other than the fact it's got this artwork on it. But they are a French team, and Space Hunt is going to be their first title. So we'll bring you more news about Hexa Pinball and the Space Hunt game as soon as we find out.
Right, okay. Hexa Pinball. Yeah. Let me look it up right away.
Yeah, might have found out more, I guess, if we'd been at the Trepor show this weekend.
Yeah, I see it uses a pinside speaker, so...
Yes, I think it's got some involvement there with members of the Pinsound team, shall we say.
Yeah, there is a Facebook page indeed. I see some artwork in there. It's a bit cartoony looking, but it does look nice. So, okay, so it looks like we might have another pinball manufacturer in Europe.
Yes, and let's move on to an existing pinball manufacturer who's based in Spain, Bitronic, and I understand there's a little bit of news there.
Well, not so much from Bitronic, to be precise. Obviously, they are manufacturing the Super Hoop pinball machine, or I think it's called Super Canasta in Spain. But for the rest of the world, it's called Super Hoop. And their British distributor, Pinball Heaven, mm-hmm. produced a video in which they basically discussed the game and all the pros... of buying it if you're looking to add a game to your home or game room and you're not that familiar with pinball, then why would you buy one that is twice as expensive if you can buy a Super Hoop?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, valid point.
And I'll link to that video in the Pinball Magazine newsletter as well if you're interested. And else you have to look up Super Hoop and Pinball Heaven on YouTube, and I think you'll easily find it.
Excellent. Okay. So, staying in Spain, any news from STR Pinball?
Well, not that I know of.
Okay. Well, what about Quetzal Pinball, also in Spain?
Well, that's, as far as we know, the next title should be Tokyo Perfect Drift, which is actually an old title, mm-hmm. but should be taken into production by Bitronic, but we don't know when.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So, so. No news from them. Or anything from Turner Pinball, who we featured last month?
I didn't hear anything.
Nothing new about their
They're
ninja recruits?
They're still trying to find out the direction for their ninja... what's it
Eclipse.
Called? Ninja Eclipse game, yes, exactly.
Okay, so no news from them. Circus Maximus and the Kingpin project.
No news there either.
Okay. I've seen it been discussed quite a bit, but it does appear to be, if not on hiatus, then pretty much a dead project.
Well, I talked to Paul at I talked to James, James Laughlin at Pinball Expo, who explained to me he was trying to get back into his groove with the game. But right now, or at that time, I think it basically was a two-man project, and I haven't recently talked to James, so I don't know what the current status is, and. Maybe I should talk to James for a future update for our next episode.
Yeah, as I understand it, he doesn't own or doesn't have the rights to the title even anymore. That's been picked up by a Dutch
company
or collector or individual who wants to get the game made, but doesn't see Circus Maximus doing anything with it.
Right.
Okay, which is a shame. But if anybody else thinks they can push the project forward,
well, there is something that we could dive into, because obviously this Kingpin project was for Circus Maximus sort of like a
it was a funding
their way,
of, way of funding
of moving forward with Pinball Circus. Yeah. So if they won't be doing Kingpin, then probably the whole Pinball Circus project is dead as well,
which would be a real shame. But it's
it is what it is.
Yeah, it's if nothing's happening with it, then that's where it is.
Right.
So. Okay, but there's also another new company which you've got news on, I understand.
Yeah, but don't keep your let's not get too excited yet, but Bob Nies, known for his homebrew Elf game, which I think won some awards, or I think it ended up pretty high in the American Pinball American Dream Challenge last year at Pinball Expo, that Elf game that he made sort of put him on the map. And he now started a small company in which he plans to develop several comedic-themed pinball games. He's working with a gentleman called Paul Fusco as investor and some other members of a game design team.
Okay, and where was this news released?
I read it on Nap Arcade, and kudos for them for bringing this story.
Yeah, credit where it's due.
Yeah, and
But so we don't know anything more about it other than the fact that he's working.
Well, yeah. He's basically working from home with a small group of people supporting him. And they have plans to build pinball machines, but we all know how it goes. Designing a game is one thing, and manufacturing is a completely different step.
Certainly is, yes.
So, the company is called Tilt Bob Pinball, and they were already. He was handing out a Twippy, I believe, at the Texas Pinball Festival, where he was wearing a T-shirt. So the merchandise is already there, which is a start.
Yeah, that's a way of funding it to sell the T-shirts.
Right. So, but we wish Bob and his team a successful development of their first title or titles, and we hope to be reporting on them much more in the future.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. Now, going back to Europe, and there was a post on Facebook this month from Christophe Linard of Pinball Pleasure in France.
He's the distributor for Jersey Jack Pinball in France and Benelux, I believe.
Yeah, probably that's right. In this post, he showed a picture of the some racks of items from the Zidware collection of I don't want to call it junk, but it's parts and prototypes and development items and drawings and all the stuff which was featured in the Pinball News article about the two storage units, which were in Illinois, that contained all the items which formed the settlement between John Popperduke and the buyers of the Magic Girl and Razor games and Alice in Wonderland games from Zidware. Mm-hmm. So these items have now turned up in France, apparently, And he says that he and Marco, I don't exactly know who Marco is, so he bought these Zidware items from the storage units in Illinois, and he was showing that they had arrived in France.
Yeah, I think what they showed was a photo of the shipping container that they were in just opened, and they had to start unpacking or unloading.
Yes, no idea what's going to happen to those exactly. I guess various parts will be sold off.
It mentioned that they are going to sell off the stuff that is the least interest.
Yeah, at least historically interesting, they said, but at least to them, as you say. Presumably it's all interesting to some degree or other. Mm-hmm. So we'll look to see when those start appearing for sale and whether they are fetching good prices or not, because I'm guessing they must have paid quite a lot of money to get all that and fair old amount to get it shipped over to Europe as well.
Yeah, I'm not even sure hope it's, how much they paid, but I'm just wondering whether the people that apparently are getting the money that was paid for these units, whether they are satisfied with the amount that was paid for them.
Well, I guess they were. They wouldn't have accepted the offer.
Well, if it was the only offer.
Yeah. Well, they were waiting. They didn't exactly rush into doing a deal, I don't think. So it's taken some time. But, you know, the longer these items were being kept in a storage unit in Illinois, the cost of that, you know, keeps eating into any money that they might make.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, probably better to sell them as soon as possible, really, and get some real money rather than just some items. Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So, I think we're down to our last topic. We earlier on we mentioned our good friend Gary Flower. I just checked my phone to see whether he called in or tried to call in. Nothing so far. I thought he was under the impression that we were recording right now.
Oh well. Never mind. I'm sure if there's anything pressing, we would have heard. But so let's just go on to our last item, which takes us back to the gift that keeps on giving and the Deep Root story. And apparently,
it's almost worth a pinball machine of its own, the Deep Root saga.
Yeah, unfortunately, the game would never end. But the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC's case against Robert Mueller and Policy Services, which is the company which handled all the life insurance policies that they bought and sold as investments. So his case against them and the Deep Root family of companies is apparently set for trial in October this year.
Ooh, so we might actually attend if we go to Pinball Expo.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good point. I better find out exactly where and when. But it's
probably in Texas.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. Have to go through the court filings and find out exactly where the hearing will take place. I imagine it will be going on for a while. But, of course, it may not be open to the public. Maybe behind closed doors, because it's unlikely to be a... A jury, case, but you never know. Just because it starts in October doesn't mean anything actually happens in October. You know how long these things take.
Right.
Anyway, Robert has filed some defense documents, which seems to have changed his line of defense for what he is charged with, from saying he did nothing wrong to saying that his lawyer said that everything he did was okay.
And does it make that okay?
Oh, apparently, yeah. Because that would then take away his intention to defraud if he thought he was doing the right thing, because his lawyer said it was the right thing.
Okay, so is the lawyer on trial?
No, of course not. No, lawyers never go on trial. But it wasn't the lawyer who did whatever was done. But
if I kill somebody and my lawyer says, "Oh, it was okay," then I'm not to blame.
You'd have to ask a lawyer. I can't help you with that one. But anyway, we'll see what happens when. I'm sure there'll be lots more developments in this case before And for, I say, before it comes to trial in October, and that's assuming it ever does come to trial in October.
Right.
Because the things tend have a tendency to be settled before it hits court. But anyway, we'll see. And we will keep you updated.
Right. Okay. So that brings us to the end of this episode.
I think it does, yes. We'll be back at the start of June. When we will be looking back in our next Pincast at all the events in the pinball world throughout this month of May. So until then, from me, Martin Ebb of Pinball News.
And me, Jonathan Houston of Pinball Magazine.
We wish you a fantastic May, and we'll see you again next month.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.